Okay.
All right. All right, Billy Ray. Today is Wednesday, May 6th, and we're just going to do some follow-up questions. Now, I understand that you were contacted by Mr. Caraway.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we were also told that you were contacted by Mr. Caraway by Warren Ernst.
Yes.
Okay. Because he was concerned about it, too, so...
No, it's correct.
And so we just need to know a few things on that. The first thing that I need to know is, okay, he expressed some concern, I guess, that Mr. Caraway might have, or not Mr. Caraway, I'm sorry, Mr. Kingston?
Griggs.
No, Mr. Kingston might have contacted Franklin? Is it Braylon?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Braylon Franklin is the elections manager in my department. And he walks into Rosa, which is the city secretary, my boss, and I was in her office as well. And he said, I just got off the phone with Councilmember Kingston. That was... I want to say last Tuesday or Wednesday. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, of this week or last week?
Last week.
Last week, okay.
Last week. And he said that he called and was asking him, but he started out the conversation, well, what's this about the breaking of the fingers or some little...
He started out the... Who's he?
I'm sorry. Councilmember Kingston, according to Braylon Franklin, stated that Councilmember Kingston started off the conversation by saying, so what is this about breaking of the fingers? And I'm not sure, and Braylon mentioned, I'm not sure what his direct answer was at the time, but he said, well, he started the conversation off with that, and I told him, this is what I told him, I told him, yes, it was loud screaming, and yes, the F-bomb was dropped, and, you know, and then he said at one point he was pacing, and then he said at one point it kind of went down a bit, and then when Warren and Lindsay came back in, it picked back up. He said it started out high, kind of went down, and you could see him pacing in the outside of the, in the hallway, and then it, when Warren, the city attorney, and Lindsay came in, went back up. And that's all Braylon shared with me and Rosa.
Okay. So, basically, Councilman Kingston was calling, asking Braylon...
About the incident. On April 13th.
Okay. And during that time, Braylon never said... He never said to Rosa in front of you, yeah, I heard the threat as well.
No, he didn't say that. Okay. He just said he started off with, you know, what's this about the breaking of the fingers?
Okay.
And that's and then that's all he mentioned.
Okay. All right. And then also Mr. Ernst or Warren was he had brought up a conversation between you and Mr. Caraway also.
Correct.
So could you expound on that a little bit?
Correct. I've told Warren that anytime I make contact with anyone regarding this incident, I will let him know.
Okay.
So on yesterday, on Tuesday, May 5th, at 8:19 p.m., I received a phone call from Councilmember Caraway. And let me put a pin there. Councilmember Caraway calls me frequently because he's called before, even before this particular incident, because he is my boss. And so he's called before on that same day asking for information, which is what they do, a campaign report. So he also called before, but regarding this incident.
So it's normal for him to call work related,
is exactly
what you're saying. Got it.
And so, and let me backup, because before I get to the 819 call, he called it around 4:30-ish Tuesday on yesterday, May 5th. And the at work, at my work phone, and he started asking questions about, you know, who filed the complaint. And I said, honestly, I don't know.
What time is that? I'm sorry.
It was around 4:30. Okay. I'll say 4:30. I can get the time off my phone at work. And he actually called my cell phone twice, and I was in a meeting, and then he called the front office. And when I'm in the front office, they'll come and get me out of the meeting. So he called. Calls from different numbers, and I'm trying to, here it is. Oh, I'm sorry. It was 303. And this was my cell, and he tried, and I missed that call, so it was sometime after 303 on yesterday. And when I answered the phone, he was asking about who filed the claim. And I told him, honestly, I don't know. And I don't know who actually filed the complaint, not the claim, I'm sorry. And then he mentioned, now how many people witnessed this incident? And then I paused. I didn't answer it. He said, do you think they heard it? It was just questions regarding the incident. So I stopped him and I said, I am not going to answer that. And that was it. Okay. And so he gets off the phone. Then I get another call. That's the 8:19 p.m. call. And he calls back and he starts in by saying, I know this is, I know it was weird. I called you earlier and I know those questions were weird, but let me be honest with you. I've been talking with Councilmember Griggs and this is just to, you know, to help you. And he is, he's in a bad position. He said that he just doesn't know which way to run. He said he thinks that Warren was in the room when he made that statement. And I said, what statement? He said, the statement about breaking your effing fingers. And he thinks Warren is the one that filed a complaint. I didn't comment at all. It went for a small pause. And then he says, I told him, you know, he should just, well, I told him that, you know, once it goes to the DA, you know, it's nothing. Once that ball starts rolling, that's it. And, you know, he said whatever at this point, he's willing to make it go away. And I know, Billy, you've mentioned before and you told me you didn't really want to be a part of this and you just want to make it go away. Didn't comment on that part either. He said, I also told him, you know, with all the stuff that he mentioned Laura Miller has been writing and others been writing about him, he's in a hard place because he has supporters and it's just hard for him. Then I did comment and I got a little on a rant, a little emotional rant about how, you know, I feel that he needs to publicly apologize. You know, regardless, that would be nice for him to apologize, but I didn't think so. But that's the only thing that would comfort me is if he would say, yes, I said this, and no, I didn't post anything illegal. All of those incidents were false. After that, he said, well, he was driving to Oklahoma, to the casino in Oklahoma, and then he said, you know, I'll call you back later. I'll call you back. He was driving. I believe someone was in the car with him. And you could tell it was some distraction going on. He said, I'll just call you back later. I said, fine. That was last night. I get a call today.
Today's the 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the new information. And I have told the attorney, Warren, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he may be calling you guys about that. But it's okay if I...
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Councilmember Carroway called me again today. It was before 5, and this was probably 4:30.
Before you get into today's, let me ask you a question about last night's.
Sure.
During the conversation with Councilmember Carroway, did he ever mention anything that Griggs said regarding the incident itself? Beside the fact he doesn't know where to run, he doesn't know where to hide, did he ever say anything about the allegation itself?
The only thing that he said about the incident itself was that he feels that Warren is the one that made the complaint, because this is Carroway speaking. He said, I think Warren overheard me. I think Warren was in the room when I made that statement, and he's the one that filed that complaint. And that's when I paused to clarify as I said, what complaint? And he said, the breaking of the fingers. That was the only time that, according to Carroway, by Carroway's statement, that he admitted to me or admitted that he made that statement.
So let me clarify, so I understand. You think that Councilman Griggs, from your conversation with Carroway, you think that Councilman Griggs admitted to Carroway, I think Warren was the only one in the room that would have heard me make that statement, and he filed the complaint.
That Warren was in the room when I made the statement to her. That Warren was also in the room with me. That Warren was in the room with Billy,
mm-hmm,
when he made the statement. And he's the one that filed the complaint. Because I was in the room. And Warren was in the room as well. But not at that time. He is totally... It's going back to what I stated earlier. He was very upset. And he was very emotional. And he was acting and doing things out of emotions. And he probably can't remember the events of what he did.
Okay.
Because Warren was not in the room when he made the statement. Warren came up later. But he really feels that he can't remember when he said it or what, but he admitted, according to Carroway, that he said it.
Hold on.
And I've contacted AT&T, the provider.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they have it, and they will have that for 30 days. After 30 days, it's destroyed. And
they'll
the only
have.
Way they have that,
just
I'm sorry,
a log of your call, right?
No, they can provide the audio, but it has to be by subpoena, requested by subpoena.
Say that again.
I talked to AT&T. Actually, I went there before I went back, mm-hmm, to the office, and I asked them if I could get a copy of the audio from, you know, this day and this time period. And in speaking with, I went to the headquarters with AT&T. They said the information is available. They do keep audio recordings, and they do release them. They keep it for 30 days, and but it can only be released by
subpoena.
Subpoena.
Okay.
So the conversation could be made much clearer.
So you have an AT&T provider, and it was exactly at 8:19. That was a conversation at 8:19 p.m.
Okay.
Okay, and on to today's conversation.
Yes, today's conversation. Councilmember Carroway called me at, I'm not good with times, but he called the front desk again, and so the ladies leave at 5, and the ladies came and got me, so it had to be before 5, but it was very close to 5, so I'm going to say 4:30. Because they were kind of wrapping up. But I can always get the exact time because it's logged on today, but it was closer to 5, 4:30 or so, I'm not sure. He calls, and this time I'm standing. I had to stand in the hallway. Well, one, I stand at the reception, represent the customer service rep's desk. One, because I wanted him to hear. My excuse was because I didn't want, when I picked it up, I wanted to make an excuse that I'm busy, and the copier is right there. But the other reason is because our records manager, we have an open records request. They have asked for all my emails, for conversations between me and anything between me and Griggs, me and the mayor, me and AC, anything regarding Trinity. So I let our records manager, who handles open records requests, period, throughout the city, I said, I let her come to my computer and take those, because I let her print those messages out. So she was sitting at my desk going through my emails. And that was one. That was another reason why I didn't take the phone in my office. But another, because the copier was going, and I wanted to say eventually I'm busy, because I didn't really want to have any more communication with him. But I was on the phone, so I answered at the front desk, and Anna Gonzalez is standing right there next to me. I'm standing over her, actually. It's her phone, and he says, before, when I said, this is Billy, he said, do not comment on anything I'm going to tell you. I said, okay. He said, just listen. He said, Griggs got word that you met with the district attorney today. And he wants me to go with him and talk to someone. I didn't catch who the someone was. And he mentioned, I'm not going to do that. But he also asked me to accompany him. He wants, and he said, don't be caught off guard if me and him show up and to talk to you. He said he wants to apologize. I did not say one word. And he was, and that's, and he said that I told him, this is another thing, he said, I told him, the ball I think it's really too late. I'm telling him, I think it's really too late. The ball has really started rolling, but don't be caught off guard if he wants to apologize to you. And he said, and so put that in your pipe and smoke. And he starts joking. And I said, thank you. And he said, well, I'll talk to you later, and I hang up. I didn't utter a word. And I'm glad I didn't. I got a little emotional, and I started to. I will accept an apology, but not private. That's what I wanted to say. I don't, I've made my statement before on how I feel, but not private. But I didn't say a word. And that was today.
Okay.
Do you think, so I get the impression, from what you stated, that Councilman Carraway, that Griggs has admitted to Councilman Carraway that this had happened.
I have mixed emotion. Carraway has been nice to me throughout. Not this incident, just nice.
Always.
Always. He's just been very nice to me. But I get a sense, and I've seen Carraway's in his the way he deals with other people. But to me, he's been nice. But the way he handles others, he kind of
flip flops
sometimes with the colleagues. And on Friday, when Elizabeth Findell contacted him. When the story was, I guess, had just been posted on the DPD's website, he calls me, and he said, I want you to know that I talked to Elizabeth, and she asked me, what did I feel about Griggs and this matter? And he said, I just want you to know that I told him Griggs is an upstanding person, and I didn't think he could do this. And I don't think he would have, I don't think he's capable of something. I can't see him doing this or something. Upsetting me really bad. because I have no problem with you supporting a person, but that to me meant that if you feel like he can't do this, he can't possibly do this, then that's indirectly saying she did it. This is me. And I said, okay. He said, I just want you to know, I told the newspaper this, and so it's going to be printed. This was his heads up. This is the way he operates. I've seen him. And I get to it. So I see his loyalty is with, or whatever you want to call it, is with Councilmember Griggs. And that's fine. That's fine. Because he doesn't. No one knows what happened in that room but me and him. I understand it perfectly. So if someone says that they don't believe me, I really understand that, okay? I can't force anybody to believe me. And even him himself, which he says, I believe you. But for you to publicly make a statement of support, you've probably told him, I believe you. So when he made the statement, when he told me this confession, I don't know if he is baiting me.
Mm-hmm. That was my next question.
Or if he's helping me. I don't know.
Well, do you think he was recording you?
At first I didn't. I really didn't. I said, oh my God, he wouldn't dare make this statement without recording. He wouldn't dare say Councilmember Griggs made the statement, and Councilmember Griggs believes that Warren heard him make this statement, and he believes, I'm thinking, he wouldn't go on record. If he was recording, he wouldn't say that, because admitting that Councilmember Griggs made that statement. So, yes, I mean, he's really giving me the inside information. Then the question, and then I started thinking, because it takes me a minute. I don't process things quickly. And I started thinking about the other questions he was asking me. And one of them was, you know, he just wants this to go away, and he wants to know what will it take to go away. And I went on this tangent. This is when I did get all emotional about it needs to be a public apology and blah, blah, you know, this. And then the conversation ended. But when I sit down and think about things, I don't process them immediately. I said, oh my God, what if I said money? It would take money to make this go away, or, you know, or something. Or Then I said, well, you know what? Is he baiting me? So it sounds helpful, but why would he ask me? And then he paused. He didn't think I was going to get on this emotional tangent and this, you know, but I said, oh my God, what if I would have, you know, said money? But it's really not about money. It's not about prosecution. It's, anyways, we've been there before. It's, I need to be cleaned up in the public's eye, in my opinion. So I don't know. And I've seen Caraway flip-flop with others, and I can't say he won't do that to me. I don't think so, but I don't know.
Do you think if Griggs told Caraway, if he admitted to Caraway, hey, I did this, do you think Caraway would tell us that?
No. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why. Because I think, and this is me, I think, this is my personal opinion, I really believe Carrie doesn't believe Griggs. I think he probably knows Griggs is, you know, the person that people think. But Carrie is a true politician. And politicians, and I've seen it before with him, even with his relationship with Kingston, they were not friends in the beginning. They were not friends. But they form... They form these alliances. Mm-hmm. And this is my personal opinion. Caraway knows, and he's made this statement before, Griggs and Kingston are right now, they are running the world. You know,
they're the hot ticket.
Right. Mm-hmm. They have the citizens of Dallas feeling that they are the only ones that are truthful, and they're against all of the corruption in the city, and they're fighting for me, the people. And Caraway knows that he's out. He's turned. As far as office is concerned, and this is my opinion, and that he will need them once he leaves office. Mm-hmm. So it's not about me liking you. It's about me needing you. And you scratch my back, I scratch yours. So that's what I believe.
Well, hold on, it's not about me liking you. It's about
me needing you.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Councilman Caraway would tell you if Griggs admitted it to him?
Yes.
You think?
He will. He will. He will tell me. But I think if he thinks that Griggs will get word, because he sees himself as out. And again, he sees them as being very strong. And if he sees that Griggs will find out, it's a no deal. But he will tell me. Now, he'll be so upset at me. But, you know, he would be upset with me and betrayed. And that would just, Councilmember Caraway is a true politician. He's gone far on being able to, and he's admitted it before, I don't know if it's true or not, but in his mind, and I've seen him work, being able to go to any side of the, to get what he wants. He can, you know, he knows how, he can make you angry one day and then come in and then you guys are walking in laughing. That is amazing.
He knows how to play the game.
Well, yes. Chameleon. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, in a way, I think he's helping me. But that, in a way, he needs them. And I don't know, I don't know what for. But, you know, it's so much politics. It really is a lot of politics that I don't know about. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, it's a political arena. You know, that's the way the council is set up is for games. You know, when you have to, when a total group of people have to get a minimum of 8 votes out of 15 in order to have one project, I don't care how big or small it is, approved in your district, you got to know how to get those votes. In order to get the votes, it becomes a game. And these people are skilled at this game.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
So the system is designed for this foolishness. It's, you know, it's, why should, if I want to do something in my neighborhood that the citizens that have strongly expressed we want, I have to go and barter with you, broker with you to get it. And sure enough, if you get my vote, whenever I want to,
I'm gonna call bus stop, in.
You're gone. We see it. That's what we do. You know, after a vote, a lot of council members want to know who voted for what. Give me that document. And they keep tabs on how you voted on my item, and I'll vote on this item. So with Caraway, he has that mentality, and he's not going to break his relationships. And I really don't want to get into that. I really don't want to break any relationships. I need to get over it. The district attorney told me to get over the fact of trying to seek a public apology. I'll get over it. But the more I read the blogs...
And didn't I tell you to stop reading?
And I will stop reading it. So I can get over that. I can get over it. But as far as Caraway, he could really truly like me and really truly want the best for me, but he has to look out for himself.
All right. Can we go ahead and get you to put your conversation, the conversation about Brylin. Mm-hmm. Just that little tidbit about Brylin, and then your conversation with
Councilmember Carraway. While you write, we're going to turn the recorder off.
Okay. It doesn't matter. You can keep it on. How will this be used? Will it be public? And it doesn't matter.
They've been doing open records requests already. Mm-hmm. And now we're fighting it. But eventually it'll all be part of it. Eventually.
Any other questions before I turn it off?
No, you can turn it off.
Okay, I'm going to turn it off while you write your statement.